Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Wednesday, April 17th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. The Sitka Assembly is unhappy with the municipal administrator's job performance. After an executive session last night, the Assembly gave Jim Dinley an unsatisfactory evaluation. KCAW's Ed Ronco reports.
After 3 hours behind closed doors, the Assembly issued a brief statement, read here by Mayor Mim McConnell.
We held an evaluation with Mr. Dinley, and Assembly members addressed their particular views on his performance. Mr. Dinley was also afforded an opportunity to express his own points of view. We gave him an unsatisfactory evaluation, and this matter will remain pending.
Dinley declined to comment to reporters after the meeting, and the Assembly did not go into detail on exactly what it found unsatisfactory. As for why the matter remains pending,
it's now time for the Assembly to decide what that means to have an unsatisfactory evaluation and what's the next step.
McConnell said Assembly members will hold another executive session after their regular meeting on April 23rd to have that conversation. Jim Dinley is one of two employees in City Hall who works directly for the Assembly. The other is the municipal attorney. Both of them get evaluated every year, and it is both routine and legal for that conversation to happen behind closed doors. The person being evaluated can ask for the conversation to take place out in the open, but Dinley said he would prefer that the Assembly meet privately. When it was all over, Mike Reif was the only member to vote against the Assembly's official statement. He said he wanted to continue the evaluation process at the next meeting, but received no support from other Assembly members. Monday was Dinley's first day back on the job after a 2-week suspension imposed by the Assembly in response to a harassment complaint received from a city employee. Jim Dinley became Sitka's municipal administrator in 2008. He earns about $122,000 a year, and his current contract runs through February 2014. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Although he built one of the most successful businesses in Southeast Alaska, Lloyd Hames will be remembered for putting community first. Roger Hames, the current CEO of Hames Corporation, is writing a eulogy for his father, which he plans to deliver this Saturday. The message is simple. If you think Lloyd Hames was just a grocer, think again. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Maybe it's the political climate nowadays, but many people have the idea that there's a culture of business and a culture of everything else. Roger Hames says his dad would have none of that. Not long after forming the Hames Corporation in 1969, Lloyd Hames demonstrated where his priorities lay.
Our competition was Sitka Cold Storage, the present-day Totem Square Inn. They were shy a meat cutter, and Dad went down and cut meat for them.
Roger Hames was in junior high at about this time and already interested in the grocery business.
I couldn't believe it. It was like, Dad, what are you doing? And he said, well, they needed help, and I helped them. So. And that's kind of who my father was.
Lloyd Hames died on April 12th in the Sitka Pioneers Home, where he had lived since 2011. He had been struggling with Alzheimer's disease for about 4 years. The core businesses for the Hames Corporation remain the two C-Mart stores in Sitka, the two Cascade convenience centers, and a liquor store in Ketchikan. At one time, however, in the mid-1980s, Hames' holdings also included the entire Plaza Port West Mall in Ketchikan, and 5 retail outlets there adjacent to the Ketchikan C-Mart. Lloyd Hames knew nothing whatsoever about groceries. He got his start working for his in-laws, Clarence and Hopewell Rands, in 1949 at a corner store called Market Center, one of many small groceries in Sitka at the time. Roger Hames says his father made up for his lack of experience with acumen.
He was a visionary. He was someone that was always looking for a way to do things better or more efficient. He was an idea guy. He was always seemed to be on the cutting edge.
And he was candid about his blind spot.
He often tells a story. I had no idea if the toilet paper goes in the canned food section or if the milk goes in the in the produce department.
So Lloyd Hames was not born into the grocery business, but he understood hard work and opportunity. The second thing Roger Hames wants you to know about his dad is that it was this ability that delivered him to state government rather than his interest in politics. In September of 1990, Lloyd Hames handed over the reins of the C-Mart businesses to his 3 children. In December of that year, Governor Walter Hickel cut short Hames's retirement.
Wally stuck his finger in his chest and says, Lloyd, what have you ever done for public service in your life? And Dad said, nothing. And so he says, well, I want you to be my commissioner of corrections.
Roger says Lloyd thought it over for about 2 days and then jumped in with both feet. Hickel needed help, and he wasn't looking for a bureaucrat.
Lloyd, you have business sense and business experience, and that's what I need in my administration in the Department of Corrections.
Ames served 2 years and worked to improve food procurement. Many of his father's changes, says Roger, remain in place today. The third thing to remember about Lloyd Hames is how much can change in a moment in deciding whether to act or not to act. Hames served 18 months in the Army during the occupation of Japan following World War II. On the voyage home to Seattle, he made a resolution.
He told his friends, he says, you know, I'm going to marry the first woman I see or I meet. And the next day after staying the night in the old Olympic Hotel of Fairmont now, dad caught a bus to go back to Roselia, to Spokane, and on that bus was my mother, Barbara, and he struck up a conversation with her, and I'm sure glad they tied the knot because this is what you have today.
Roger Hames says Lloyd's memorial will be a celebration of life for someone who helped define a family business and its relationship to community and set a standard for those who followed him.
I'm proud to be here, and I'm proud to do business in Sitka. We love being a part of it, and we love giving back to it. You know, I can thank my father and my mother for that.
Lloyd Hames was 85 years old. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
A visitation for Lloyd Hames will be held 5 to 7 p.m. Friday, April 19th at Pruitt's Funeral Home. A celebration of faith and life will be held Saturday at noon at the Sitka Assembly of God with a lunch afterwards. There were many reasons that Sitka Community Hospital closed its obstetrics program in 2009, and a number of factors and people involved in its reopening 2 years later. In part two of our series on the importance of obstetrics in rural medicine, KCAW's Ann Bryce talks with a physician whose commitment to a full-spectrum family practice has made a big difference to Sitka's local hospital.
Were you able to hear that?
Yes.
Okay. Because that's about as loud as it sounds when you listen with a stethoscope.
Dr. Deborah Pullman is a family physician at Sitka Community Hospital. She's letting a pregnant patient listen to her baby's heartbeat with a stethoscope.
Think about it. You're going through skin, the subcutaneous tissues, the muscle of the uterus, and then to the baby, which is pretty impressive. Come here.
Brooke Chartier is due at the end of April. She's been seeing Dr. Pullman as her primary physician during her entire pregnancy. She says her mom knew Pullman from when she had children at Sitka Community.
Well, since my mom had all of her kids here, I just asked her, and she knows the nurses and who to call and whatever, so it definitely makes it easier that she had been through it. So I just kind of did whatever she told me to do.
Pullman delivered babies at Sitka Community in the early 1990s, but by 1995, she had developed an interest in teaching residents, graduates of medical school, who were going into family medicine. Her first stop was in Vancouver, Washington, where she helped set up the OB portion of a family practice residency program. But Vancouver was a little too urban for her, so she moved back to Alaska, to Anchorage, to work in the state's only medical residency program. In the meantime, in 2009, Sitka Community Hospital closed its OB program because of a lack of properly qualified physicians.
There were folks who would periodically get in touch with me and say, would you reconsider coming back down? So it was always tempting, but it was hard for a long time for me to consider giving up teaching.
Hugh Hallgren became the CEO of the hospital several months after the OB program had ended. At the recommendation of the board, he began planning to rebuild the program.
This was a need that was felt by a number of people in the community that they should be able to have their babies here.
Eventually, in 2011, Pullman did come back to Sitka, and she resumed her full-time family practice. She says although it was a struggle to decide to stop teaching at the medical school, she felt compelled to return to the rural community, partly because she saw a need that wasn't being met by newer doctors.
Well, perhaps a disappointment in the success that I had hoped I might be a part of in getting some of our Alaska graduates to go to rural areas.
Even the best training can't guarantee that someone could make it as a doctor in rural Alaska. It takes a long time, and young doctors often form their own families and start to put down roots in more urban areas where they learn their profession.
We have a number of wonderful graduates who have gone to OBGYN programs, and I haven't seen any of them coming back and going to places even like Soldotna or Juneau.
Pullman is candid about the challenge of working as a rural physician. Rural hospitals have fewer resources and smaller medical staffs. She says staying current in her skills is a constant worry.
The fear of not being up to date or not learning of a new recommendation that might make a difference for your patient, it's always in the background. It weighs heavily on you.
Dr. Pullman continues to build her practice and says she enjoys getting to know her new patients. Brooke Chartier says she is more than ready for the baby to arrive, and she has a plan for the big day.
I have invited people, and we'll see. I have my best friend who is in. I was outside the door of her birth because I was feeling a little lightheaded. And everyone has said, if you decide to kick us out, that's okay. So we'll see. Oh, and my husband. That's a good one to include in there. Yeah. He'll be in there, hopefully.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ann Bryce.
Southeast representatives added dozens of projects worth about $13.5 million to the capital budget before it passed the House. They were included in the final public works funding list passed by the legislature before it adjourned. One large project is the Lynn Canal Highway, slated to run north out of Juneau. It got $10 million towards construction from the capital budget and other sources. Another is Ketchikan's Medical Center addition, which picked up $5 million on top of the $10 million already included by the state Senate. Southeast's four House members also added smaller community grants, most helping local government, social service, or similar groups. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, visit us online at kcaw.org. You're listening to KCAW Sitka.